Hello and welcome to Keeping It Real podcast, the first podcast for real estate agents made by real estate agents. My name is DJ Paris. I am your host through the show. And today on the show, we're doing something a little different. We normally highlight realtors and who have had success in this specific area, and then we interview them and find out exactly what they're doing in hopes that you can learn from that and maybe even replicate what their behavior is so you can get those same results. But today, because of the current climate around some of the potential tax changes that are going into effect, we wanted to find someone who's on the front line working for you to help you understand exactly what's going on out there that you can communicate to your clients. So today we have Beth Wanless from the Illinois Association of Realtors. She is basically a lobbyist for you, making sure that your needs are being met and that your voices are being heard with various parts of government. And we talked a lot about how the potential tax law, the potential tax changes that may be implemented shortly, how those would affect realtors and how those would affect developers and buyers and sellers. And also we talked about a lot of the resources that the Illinois Association of Realtors has for brokers that you probably don't know exist. You already pay for these as part of your dues to your local MLS, and you have access to some really wonderful tools. And so Beth is going to talk about some of those tools so that you can utilize them to, of course, you know, better meet your clients' needs. So without further ado, I'm going to launch into our interview, and I hope you find it very interesting. Oh, I'm sorry, one last thing. If you haven't yet visited our website, which is keepingitrealpod.com, you can go there and stream all of our previous episodes. You can also, of course, subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, anywhere podcasts are served, and listen to those episodes. Also, if you have someone that you think we should be interviewing, could even be yourself, or you somebody you'd always wanted to hear how they built their business or what they're doing in a specific area, you can let us know right on our website. And we also have, of course, a Facebook page too. But visit keepingitrealpod.com and let us know any feedback you have. We would be curious to hear it. We want to make the show better and better just for you. By the way, as you're listening to this interview with Beth, if you are curious about how do I actually meet some of these government employees that are working on my behalf for my industry, well, they have an event once a month, every first Tuesday. So the next one, if you're listening currently, the next one is coming up August 1st, but it's the first Tuesday at every month. It is at the National Association of Realtors building, also the Chicago Association of Realtors office, which is 430 North Michigan on the 8th floor. They do what's called Coffee with Your GAD, which is Government Affairs Directors. So this is a place where you can go, you can learn what the government professionals are doing for you on your behalf, have some coffee, get an update on all things public policy in Chicago and Cook County. This is free for all members. So, okay, enjoy our interview. Today on the show, we have Beth Wanless, who is the Local Government Affairs Director and Regional Manager of Member Outreach with the Illinois Realtors Association. Beth works in the Chicago office and works also with the Cook County Board of Commissioners, the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District, among other elected officials and community members. Beth has experience on both the federal and the state level. She was a congressional intern for a former U.S. representative from California and an intern for the former Attorney General of West Virginia. Native Ohioan, Beth was a senior staffer for an Ohio House of Representatives Majority Whip. I still have never figured out exactly what the Majority Whip is, but maybe you can explain that at some point. Before returning back to the policy world, Beth was a research analyst in a corporate development group of a private investment firm in Chicago. She graduated from Denison University. I have been to Denison, and from Northwestern. Beth has lived in Chicago for more than a decade and currently resides in Ravenswood with her husband and two young sons. So welcome and thank you for being on our podcast.
Well, thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here.
That is a really impressive introduction and resume. Tell us, how did you get moved to Chicago, or where are you from originally, actually?
Oh, great question. I grew up in Columbus, Ohio. Big Buckeye fan, so I hope I'm in good company.
And you went to college like 30 minutes away. That was as far as you got.
Right. I would go to the Ohio State Buckeye games on the weekends, so I was close enough to do that. But yeah, I grew up in Columbus, Ohio. My parents were not involved in politics or public policy. I just kind of fell into it. I thought it was fascinating. I'm a big history nerd, and I think if you're a history nerd, then politics just is kind of a natural progression for you. I got into politics there, working in the Ohio House of Representatives. And then I don't know what happened. I just was young and, you know, hungry for adventure. So I said, nah, the heck with it. I'm just going to pick up everything. I quit my job, gave my 2 weeks notice, excuse me. And then I moved to Chicago with no job prospects. And literally two suitcases and my dog, and found myself employed a couple of months later for the Crown family, and they were wonderful to work with. And then I realized that finance was not my forte, and then I wanted to get back into public policy. So I started working with the Institute of Real Estate Management, which is a national affiliate of the National Association of Realtors. And it's a funny story. I actually got offered two job offers on the same day. That makes me sound really, you know, extraordinarily wonderful, but it was just happenstance. And I am not extraordinarily wonderful, but one was in healthcare and one was for real estate. And I remember saying to my boyfriend at the time, who's currently my husband, that, man, healthcare, it's such a big industry right now with the Affordable Care Act passing. And there's so much room to grow in this industry. But I said to myself, I love real estate and I love private property rights. And that's just something that I could do forever. And it has really grown into a fantastic career. So a couple of months ago, I was working on an issue in Illinois, rent control, which I'll talk about later in a minute. And I was working with Illinois Realtors and my colleague, Brian Bernardoni, who I'm sure many folks who will listen to this podcast know, said, hey, why don't you come work for us? So he invited me to go through the application process, and long story short, here I am. I just started June 1st.
Oh wow, you are new to the position, but not new to the type of position, I guess.
Right.
So yeah, let's talk a little bit about your role. What do you do specifically at IAR?
Great question. So I am the government affairs professional, also known as lobbyist. I know some people don't like that word, but you know, that's what I do. I lobby the Cook County Board of Commissioners, and I also lobby the Water Reclamation District. My colleague Brian does city council, so he works with all the aldermen and other community officials. But we are a pretty good team. Obviously, I've only been here for a couple of weeks, but I've known him before that, and it was just like an excellent fit for me, and I was pretty excited to have the opportunity.
Yeah, no, there's a lot going on right now, and let's jump into it. So, what I know you wanted to talk a lot about some of the legislative moves that may or may not be happening. So to start, I don't know. I know you had even talked about federal, state, and local levels. I don't know. Should we start big to small? Start at federal, and then sort of narrow it down. And just basically stuff that brokers would want to know and how to plan maybe more effectively for their business in the upcoming years, as well as what to expect from their clients and that sort of thing.
Sure. So big to small, let's do federal first. First things first, the realtors are always watching out for their members' best interests. In Illinois, we have 14 government affairs officials, so literally every inch of this state is being monitored to make sure that our members' interests are being represented. And that's the same thing on the federal level as well. I worked with the NAR policy staff pretty closely, and they are some of the most talented professionals in the industry. And I'm sure, again, anybody who has spoken with them or worked with them knows that firsthand. So tax reform. I know this is kind of a boring topic, and I admit it's not one that I'm an expert in. Evan Lydiard is the tax guru at NAR. But there are a couple of things that we are really watching, or I should say they are watching very closely. Tax reform has been on the forefront of both administrations. agenda when the Democrats and Republicans were running for the presidential seat. People were talking about tax reform. Well, it has come into play now. Obviously, there's no legislation pending, but we are gearing up for that. So what does that mean? Well, we want to retain the 1031 like-kind exchange, and that's a big one for commercial investors. It just allows the investor to defer, emphasis on defer, they do pay taxes on the gain of the sale of a property if they purchase a similar property. And we also want to retain the
mortgage. Oh, and by the way, Beth, I'm sorry to interrupt. Is that in danger of possibly going away?
It sure is. Unfortunately, we have heard a lot of rumblings. And again, I have not been in contact with members of Congress since coming here very closely. So I have heard rumblings that 1031 will be on the chopping block. And that tool has been around in the revised code for, I want to say, almost 100 years. So that has been a tool for real estate investors since the 20s. And they're saying that they want to get rid of it. Both Democrats and Republicans have been talking about getting rid of that tax deduction. So that's a great question. So we want to retain that. We also want to retain the mortgage interest deduction. I'm sure
that's the big one. Yeah. That's at least the big one that affects not just investors, but
exactly. It's a huge one. I'm not as familiar with this tax provision as a 1031 exchange, but I have learned very, very quickly that that is the number one priority when tax reform comes to the forefront that they want to protect. And we have heard from elected officials that they are going to retain this, but they aren't in some ways, because the last tax issue to mention is the potential elimination of the state and local tax deduction. That's really bad. It basically negates the mortgage interest deduction.
Right.
It would hurt the states with the highest tax burdens, as they wouldn't be able to deduct property taxes from their federal taxes. And since it's a double taxation, like I said, a lot of elected officials in Congress said that the MID is safe, but by doubling the standard deduction that Americans can take to lower their taxable income, the MID would be significantly less valuable. And that's just because homeowners can take advantage of the MID if they don't use the standard deduction and instead itemize deductions. It's a little confusing, but rest assured, our lobbyists in DC are working really, really hard to make sure that members of Congress understand how important these tax provisions are.
Is one of the parties looking to, in Illinois at least, as far as the, you know, either retaining or getting rid of the state and local tax, is that a party issue, or is it contingent upon other factors versus just whether someone's a Republican or Democrat?
Yeah, it's really contingent on a lot of factors. You know, retaining the 1031 like-kind exchange historically has been a Republican issue. However, with the Republican in office in the executive branch and legislative branch, it's kind of ironic that they're targeting that.
Right.
There are a lot of things at play. I think a lot of constituents across many districts want to see change, and that's what they're giving them. And unfortunately, it's at the sacrifice of our members and homeowners across the nation. So great question, but there are many, many factors at play here.
And what does your office think would happen should the state and local tax deductions, whether they go away or whether they negate the mortgage interest deduction, what do you guys project as far as how that affects homeowners who are thinking about buying, or investors who are thinking about continuing to invest?
Right. I mean, it definitely causes pause for a lot of people who would otherwise be very much encouraged by that tax provision, that tax tool. It helps lower income and middle income Americans afford their house payments and afford homeownership. And as we all know, homeownership is a cornerstone of the community. A lot of communities do well and thrive when people own homes and when there's home sales and activity. When I was interviewing for this position, I'm really good friends with an NAR policy staffer, and she was telling me, she was saying, we're kind of like arguing about something, and she said, you know what, Beth? Realtors do not buy and sell houses and flip them to make a buck. they buy and sell houses to build communities. And she believed that, and so do I. And I believe that if these tax provisions are changed in a negative way, that homeownership will not be what it is today. And it's very important to retain that economic tool, because it creates jobs, it creates stability, it creates safety. So many things, so many positive things come out of homeownership and the communities that have homeownership.
Yeah, thanks. That's a really good answer. And let's talk about rent control. You mentioned that earlier. I know that's been on a lot of realtor, and certainly on a lot of investors' minds, but most of them are represented by realtors as well. So what's going on with rent control right now?
Well, rent control was introduced by a state representative from the city area, Will Guzzardi. He, I believe, represents Logan Square, and they have a problem with gentrification, or so the constituents say, and housing prices are increasing, rent is increasing. So he introduced a piece of legislation that would repeal the ban on rent control in the state of Illinois. And that's actually when I got pretty involved, because I typically do federal stuff, but when I saw that, I was like, oh crap, let's see what's going on. And I started talking to the Illinois realtors and trying to figure out what exactly this meant. Was this going to pass? There's a ton of research out there, that talks about how bad rent control is. And we're not talking about just for the economy, but we're talking about lower income Americans. And it's a noble gesture, rent control. It really is. And I appreciate what they're trying to do with that legislation. But it actually does the opposite. So it sort of creates a black market that really only wealthy renters can know about. It doesn't help anybody who needs the apartment. I think there was a study that was done with the American Association of Economists or something like that, that NAR did a few years ago. And 93% of the economists surveyed in this group said that rent control lowers the quality and quantity of affordable housing. So if that doesn't tell you something, I don't know what does. I'm not an economist, but I have to believe what they're saying is true. And we've seen other situations where rent control backfires. And it really just, like I said, creates a black market. Investors don't come in and build properties because they don't see that they can charge market rents. A lot of landlords can't fix up a unit because they just don't have the money to do it because they can't charge market rents. A lot of problems with rent control. It's a huge thing. I'm not the state lobbyist, but I've been told by our lobbyists that they're obviously going to monitor any other movement on a similar piece of legislation because it is such a big thing for our members. Not only our members, but for renters and the people who need affordable housing.
Yeah, I've heard as of about a month or so ago, someone who was monitoring or maybe was lobbying directly was confident that might get defeated. But I don't know if that's been official.
Yes. Yeah, it is dead. Although in public policy, we can never really count anything out because in the 11th hour, something can always happen. But it is dead for right now. However, like I said, our lobbyists, Greg and Julie down in Springfield, they are watching very, very closely to make sure that they're educating the members of the House and Senate in Springfield about what rent control really does and what it doesn't do. It doesn't help housing affordability at all. So great question on that one.
And then lastly, let's talk about the local legislative potential changes. You mentioned, or you sent to me some information about recycling, landlord tenant ordinances. Can you speak briefly on those?
Yeah, great question. So on a local level, this was before I came to Illinois Realtors, but there was a city ordinance passed that basically requires landlords and condo association managers and HOA managers to It's for four or more units. That's important to notice. Four or more units or a condo association, you need to post a sign about the source separated recycling law. And source separated means one bin for plastic, one bin for metal, one bin for paper. A landlord must provide the recycling containers and post a list of acceptable items. And they also must be maintained, so they have to be emptied and they can't stink or anything like that. And then you also have to educate your tenants on recycling and how they participate. The violations are pretty hefty for it. They range from $500 to $1,000 for the first offense, and then I think up to like $5,000. So it's kind of serious. You definitely want to stay on top of it. My colleague, Brian Bernardoni, did a fantastic job of working with city council to put a 30-day warning of non-compliance in there. So there is that, but I would encourage all community association managers, all landlords, to know what this law is and get things straightened out, because it can be pretty expensive if you don't abide by it. Another issue that we are monitoring closely is the residential landlord-tenant ordinance. My colleague Brian has been working with City Council on an amendment to the RLTO regarding judicial discretion on security deposits. So a lot of our members tell me, hey, you know, the security deposit law here is just crazy. Like, if we're one penny off on returning the money to a tenant, we have to pay two times the deposit amount plus interest. There's no wiggle room at all. Unfortunately, there's no judicial discretion. So judges have to give the ruling that the landlord or the property owner must pay that amount. In some cases, it can be tens of thousands of dollars for just one penny off in returning the security deposit amount. So my colleague Brian is, like I said, working with City Council to get a very, very, very small change to the ordinance, just so we can give judges some discretion, because obviously we do want bad actors to be held accountable for taking advantage of the system. So that's a great one. And I've been a renter almost my entire life, so I definitely understand the issue, but it's a little strict right now. So we want the judges to have some flexibility and wiggle room there.
Perfect. Yeah, that's, yeah, I've heard that a lot too. I know that there's a lot of debate among, not only the tenants, but of course the landlords and investors around what to do with security deposits. Should they even have a security deposit, or should they just charge a move-in fee? Because the security deposits are so problematic, or can be problematic, if it's not done, you know, obviously exactly right.
Exactly.
Let's talk about the different resources that realtors have that they might not know that they have with your organization. And there are a bunch of really important resources. So let's talk about, and I know this is one that's sort of really important to our firm as well, which is the legal hotline, which I suspect most brokers aren't super familiar with. And it's an incredibly useful resource. And it's, well, I you could argue it's free, it's part of your dues, but it's certainly much cheaper than going out and hiring somebody for, you know, $400 an hour. You guys have a staff of attorneys whose job it is to basically man a hotline and answer any and all questions related to a broker's transactions or clients.
Right.
I know we, as a firm, contact the legal hotline. Probably we have 550 brokers, so we have a lot of questions we could ask.
Yeah.
But we call in just to make sure we're doing everything appropriately and not missing anything. And we probably call a few times a week. But can we talk more about what they offer, or why a realtor themselves might need to call the legal hotline?
Oh gosh, let's see, that's a good question. So like you said, I think the best use of the legal hotline is just to ensure compliance, because you do not want to do anything illegal, of course. But like you said, just calling to make sure that things are going smoothly, that you're doing the right thing. I'm not very familiar with what types of issues they work on. I think just, you know, license law, compliance,
Yeah.
maybe fair housing.
Mm-hmm.
That's
Yeah, any time a broker finds himself saying, I just want to double check.
Right.
When it's a potentially a legal issue. And I'll give you a really practical example that we are constantly checking for our brokers, which is if they create their own marketing. For example, like maybe they create their own custom website. And we actually build custom websites for our brokers, but some also then go off on their own and build their own. Or maybe it's a specific flyer that, or some sort of digital marketing piece even. And you know, it's interesting because if a broker goes and tries to read the advertising guidelines, they're somewhat vague, not super easy to follow. And there's questions sometimes where you just want to double check to make sure, do I need the full firm office address? Do I need the firm's phone number? I know I need my phone number, but I know I have to name the firm, but do I have to say the actual physical location of the firm? You know, things like that.
Right.
And obviously, a realtor should feel free to contact their own managing broker, who should be somewhat knowledgeable. But if you want to double check, you know, the legal hotline is perfect for those kind of things. And we are constantly sending over, hey, here's a piece of marketing that one of our brokers put together. Is there anything unusual or and because some of, you know, it is to some degree open for interpretation a little bit of that, of the way that it's worded. So that's a perfect reason or if there's a dispute where someone's having an issue, a broker's having an issue with maybe the broker on the other end of the deal.
Right.
And they just want to make sure that they're not, or rather, can I say this to my client? Can I, you know, that sort of thing. It's an incredible resource, and it's easy to get access. So sometimes people say, well, how do I find that? I mean, probably the easiest way is just Google Legal Hotline Illinois Realtor, or you could just go to the Illinois Realtor website and it's right there.
Exactly.
Very easy to find.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited to hear that you use it so often. I didn't even know this existed until I joined the organization. And then when I heard it, I was like, oh, surely that's not for any managing broker. That would be crazy. That would be so much work. But it is. It's a great member benefit and a resource that is, like you said, it's free, but I mean, it pays for itself in, you know, one or two uses. So,
oh my gosh,
please
absolutely.
Use it.
And let's talk about Inman News. So,
yeah, it's essentially just a free subscription, the Inman Select. So, I have this handy brochure, but if you go to the website, which is IllinoisRealtors.org, and then you click on the left side and it says member benefits. So let's see, it is on the very bottom. And if you're already signed into your account, when you click on the link under Inman, you have free access. It'll go like, oh, please try this. And then it goes right into your free account. So then you register, you sign up, and it gives you a bunch of information and news. And I think someone told me it was valued, this subscription, the Inman Select, is valued at $220. So,
oh yeah, Inman is an incredible source of real estate information. It's probably about the best source out there, or at
really?
Least, oh, I mean, it's certainly right up there as far as, you know, consistently good content that's relevant to a realtor. And they have just a lot of great, great content. So yeah, if you haven't signed up for that, you have a subscription through the Illinois, you know, Realtors Association. And then let's talk about the lobbyists, and you're on that team as well. You know, there's 14 of you that are out to protect realtors' interests. And you know, what if realtors are looking to make their voices heard, you know, how would they go about making sure that they know what, you know, that you know what they're looking for and what they need?
Sure. Like you said, 14 lobbyists. I don't know any other association that is as organized as Illinois is. That's not to say that the other realtor associations are not terrific. They absolutely are. But it really is a unique model, and I've gotten a lot of compliments on how Illinois does it. We have lobbyists throughout the state. So there are, let's see, three in Springfield, and then there's our boss, Mike, who kind of oversees all the local government affairs directors, or GADs are what they're called. And if you ever want to contact somebody, or if you ever have an issue, I mean, they deal with issues every day, from city council to, you know, whatever, zoning, all kinds of stuff. If you ever want to contact somebody, go to the website, IllinoisRealtors.org, and then click on About Us, and then you'll see staff, and then government affairs staff. and it'll give you direct access to any of us. And I'm even happy to give out my cell phone number, because the way that we can do our jobs best is by hearing by members, because we're not practitioners. You know, I'm not out in the field buying and selling homes, so I'm not seeing what our members are running into as far as policy issues or legal issues or whatever. So please contact us. That's the best way for us to do our job and to protect the members in their industry. So if you'd like, I can give up my cell phone number case anybody wants to reach me. Yeah, it's 312-758-6644. Again, my name is Beth Wanless. All the GADs are available at your disposal. We work hard, we work a lot of hours, and you know, we just want to make sure that our members feel like they're being represented. And obviously we want to see projects through. Not only do we monitor stuff, but we need to move things. And we can really only do that when we know about it and we can hear from your experiences. So good question.
And let's end with a couple of to-dos that realtors can immediately engage in to get more involved or get more information. I know you were talking about with...
Yes, the Realtor Party mobile alerts are pretty cool. So if you're listening to this and you have a handy cell phone, or I guess I should say cell phone handy, text Realtor, R-E-A-L-T-O-R, to 30644. Again, type in the number 30644, and in the message area, put in Realtor. Push send, and then it'll sign you up for a mobile alert. So the last time the National Association of Realtors initiated a call for action was, I believe, last year in 2016, and that was for a bill, H.R. 3700. I think it was the Housing Opportunities Through Modernization Act. So a politician was talking to one of our federal lobbyists, and he said, you know, I see what this bill does, and it does good things, but we just want to know that your members care. So chief lobbyist went back and said, let's do a call for action. And so they mobilized this mobile alert that was sent out to cell phones and emails to 1.3 million Realtor members. And I want to say they got 220,000 messages from realtors across the country saying, please pass this bill. What did they do? They passed it unanimously. I don't know when the last time that happened in Congress, which all Democrats and all Republicans voted to pass something, but I have to say that was quite remarkable and pretty exciting. So I know, like I said, 220,000 people responded to this call for action. So it's a simple way that you can get involved. You don't have to do anything. We will send you the alerts. So if you can just text Realtor, get the number up, just make sure I'm giving it to you correctly.
30644.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, text the word Realtor to 30644. And they're not going to send too many messages once in a while when it's really critical. Exactly. I just signed up myself. And then let's end with talking about RPAC.
RPAC. So RPAC basically just helps raise and spend money to elect candidates who understand the importance of the real estate industry to the economy and to the community. The money is voluntarily invested and it's very wisely used. So I'm a major investor. That just means that I invested $1,000 of my own money into RPAC. I personally really do believe in the power of R. I believe in RPAC. I've heard a lot of stories on how it works on the federal, state, and local level. And it's actually pretty incredible. I don't think it's the largest PAC out there. I don't want to give you bad information, but it's certainly one of the most powerful. And the RPAC staffers are terrific. They work really hard at identifying candidates who understand our issues. And if you are interested in learning more or getting involved, please visit rpacnow.com. It's www.rpacnow.com. rpacnow.com. And I should also mention, if there are any managing brokers out there or anybody listening who are interested in having me or a colleague who maybe is closer to them come to your office, I will bring coffee and donuts and I will talk for 10 minutes and just tell you about these resources and tell you how to find them. I know it's a little tricky over a podcast, but I would be more than happy to come to you, introduce myself, and see how we can ensure that you're using these terrific member benefits, because they really are, I mean, worth their weight in gold. It's incredible, like the Inman and the legal hotline, and we even have some forms on there that you can use, like a sample office policy. So please, 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 if you're a Realtor member, visit the IllinoisRealtors.org website and learn about what we're doing for you.
And if you want to reach out to Beth directly, her email is bwanless, which is B as in boy, and then W-A-N-L-E-S-S at IllinoisRealtors.org. And definitely, in particular, if you're a managing broker and you'd like her to come speak, shoot her a message, or really, Beth's very, very accessible. She was and is certainly, she works for you. So that is, she's a wonderful resource and obviously very open to communication. Well, thank you very much. We really appreciate your time, and thanks for working for us and helping to ensure that our needs get met, you know, from a governmental level.
Thank you so much. And I just appreciate the opportunity to talk to everybody, and I hope some folks reach out. I would love to help anybody that needs a hand on anything.
All right, Beth. Well, thank you very much, and thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.